Usted, usted. ¿Y qué no lo hace?
The Torah tells us the story about the spy that came back and said statements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu a statement, "Akenu badeve v'orishenu v'yaseh otcha l'goy gadol." Like to punish them, Dever. Dever is one of the makot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on the Egyptians in Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using this statement that he wants to destroy Chas v'Shalom Am Yisrael by Dever. Something that we don't find in the Torah. For example, after Am Yisrael did the golden calf, the Egel, does not say in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he wants to destroy Am Yisrael Chas v'Shalom with Dever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm going to destroy them. Then Moshe Rabbeinu was praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But doesn't say in the Torah which way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to use to destroy Am Yisrael. And here, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but Dever. When Moshe Rabbeinu is talking back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu is trying very hard. After Am Yisrael did the golden calf, the Egel says, "Vayichal Moshe." Says the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu made himself like sick and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a big forgiveness. Here it says, "Vayomer Moshe." It doesn't say Moshe Rabbeinu even prayed. It doesn't say, "Vayichalel Moshe." He only was saying. He's missing something that we think about Tefillah. The right thing should have been that Moshe Rabbeinu is praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Am Yisrael, but he doesn't pray for that. It says, Vayomer Moshe. He tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's not logic. It doesn't make sense to destroy Am Yisrael. Because if you can destroy Am Yisrael, the nations will say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not have the strength just to bring them to Israel. Vayishchatem b'midbar, he slaughtered them in the desert. Moshe Rabbeinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu some adjectives about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayishchatem Hashem, that Yiver Chapaim. It doesn't say Kel Rachum V'Chanun, like it says in the Egel, it says Er Chapaim. It's missing few of the adjectives, few of the things that we say in the 13 Midot. It's not part of them, not all of them. The question is, why isn't he using all of them, using only part of them? Now it tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you dwell among Am Yisrael. And you have your cloud in front of them. And how is it possible that you're just going to get rid of them? And all the goyim will say, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no power. V'atai igdalna koach Hashem, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, overcome if you may say your ideas. And Hashem said, ואומר השם, סלחתי כדבריך. I forgive them. כדבריך, says Rashi, says the Midrash, whatever you said, the good excuses that you said. But you say a good excuse is that maybe it's not right that I should destroy Am Yisrael. What does it mean exactly? Moshe Rabbeinu is smarter than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I understand if somebody is praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes his idea. But here it doesn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu is praying to Hashem. It only is like talking to Hashem, he's convincing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he doesn't pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's saying something that makes maybe sense, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Salachti kidvarecha, I'll forgive because of what you said." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know it. I mean, if you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand you pray, the prayers have a power. And the prayers have a power that the tefillah breaks the gezerot. But if you just say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's cutting HaKadosh Baruch Hu the situation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let me destroy him, Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it doesn't make sense. Yisrael says, he's smarter than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not think about it. That the Goyim might say. So what did the Goyim might say? So every time you bring somebody to court, and you want to punish him, he says, no, don't punish, because he has a very high job, and if you're going to put him in jail, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. And the judge doesn't take it into consideration. If the guy did commit a sin, he deserves the punishment. You don't ask what people will say. Akbar doesn't really care what the Egyptians will say. The Egyptians say Akbar has no power, has power. Who cares about the Egyptians? How is it possible to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such statements, that what people are going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will change his mind, Salachti kidvarecha. You're right, I'll change my decision. So it means is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not change his decision completely. What it means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not destroy them immediately, all of them, the way he sounds like he's going to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, so, okay, Ulam Chayani, Ashver, in my name, that those people, forgive me, those people will not be able to enter Eretz Israel. They don't want to go to Israel, they're going to die. The bodies will fall in the desert, and they'll die in the desert, and they'll be buried in the desert, they won't go to Eretz Israel. No, Sarin doesn't say anything. Moshe doesn't say anything. Let him say it. Let Moshe Rabbeinu answer. The same thing. What does it make? The question of Bataya was that the Egyptian people will say they have no power. Achat Shalom, Am Yisrael has no power. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not able, Hashem, to bring Am Yisrael to Eretz Israel. Hashem said, okay, you know what? I'm going to die in the desert now. For 40 years, they're going to walk around the desert. So again, the Egyptians will say, oh, see, he has no power. He has no power. Why, after 40 years, they're going to go to Eretz Israel? The same thing is with those children also. The way Hashem wanted to do in the beginning, it would be the same thing. He would have Hashem destroyed all Am Yisrael. He promised Moshe to leave Moshe alive. Moshe will have children, and 40 years from now, over there, they will walk to Eretz Israel. It's the same situation. What difference does it make? If Moshe didn't go to Eretz Israel with his children, Moshe said, no, I cannot do it, because then the Egyptians and all the Goyim will say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no power. He has no power. He's not to them in the desert. Even though Moshe is going to go later, doesn't matter. This generation will die, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no power. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, okay, I forgive them. But we're all going to die in the desert. We're going to die in the desert. Again, the Goyim will say the same thing. They all die in the desert. Why do they not go to Israel? It means Hashem has no power. The same situation. So the next 40 years, Am Yisrael will wander in the desert. And the Egyptian says, you see, they're all dying in the desert, a pandemic, they're all dying. So what are you going to answer? No, they had to die in the desert. I said, the whole idea is that Moshe is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to show your power. If you don't let them go to Israel, it means you have no power. I said, here we go, the answer is the same situation. We're not going to go to Eretz Israel, you'll die in the desert. So some people will be left alive, doesn't matter, but in the next 40 years people will say, why they don't go to Israel? Because they can't go to Israel, it's because Hashem has no power for Hashem. The Torah tells us that Moshe went and told them Israel, the statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were very upset. They were very upset, they said, Chatanu, he says, we're going to climb up, we're going to the mountain, we're going to fight. So Moshe says, Yerein Hashem Mekir Bechem. Hashem is not with you. He says, please don't do it, you will not be successful. The Torah, the Aaron, the Echad, the Ark, and Moshe did not move from the camp, and Am Yisrael, we don't know how many of them decided to go forward. and to try to walk toward Israel. And of course, the Kenani and Amori, they came from the mountains, they chased them, they were met. They lost some people. That's the end of the story of the miracle. This is exactly what is really behind that story. And what does the Torah want to teach us? Again, Moshe doesn't pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change his mind completely. He did change a little bit. Still, he does not want to forgive them. By the way, in this week's parasha, we have that statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Salachti Kidvarecha. This is the sentence that we say on Yom Kippur. Salachti Kidvarecha, the Gemara says that really what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah on Yom Kippur, 80 days after we did the golden calf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided Yom Kippur is going to be Yom Kippur. Because, says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that day, Salachti Kidvarecha. Again, even though the word Salachti Kidvarecha came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Tisha B'Av, we are using the statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he forgave us for Yom Kippur. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said it in Yom Kippur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it on Tisha B'Av. Again, it was not the full forgiveness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never forgave us completely because those people between the age of 20 and 60 died. So it's not a real forgiveness. When we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur, we don't expect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I forgive you, but you're going to die. We expect a full forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, well, yes, you're going to have one. Hashem said, it's not true. First of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not forgive completely. Second, it did not happen on Yom Kippur. Even though the Gemara again said that Salat Kitvarecha applies to Yom Kippur, even though it says in this parasha, this is nothing to do with Yom Kippur. In Tefillah in Shacharit, one of the first brachot that we say is Elokai, Neshama shenatat bi teorai. Tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu statement. Neshama that you gave me is a pure neshama. This is what else? What do you think? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give you a pure neshama? Ata verata, ata etzarta, ata nefachta bi. You made it, of course I made it. Ata atid itlami meni, eventually you're going to take it away from me. Well, this is the viduya, a confession. This is not Yom Kippur. Ata atid itlami meni, b'ezrat Hashem, in the future you'll take this neshama away from me. What this has to do with the morning? Well, that's some explanation. V'lachzira b'latid lavo. You'll give me back, b'ezrat Hashem. Chiyat amiti m'latid lavo. Kol zeman sh'neshama b'kirbi, as long as my neshama is here. מודה אני לפניך שם אלוקיי ואלוקי אבותיי ריבון כל העולמים master of all the universes. What does that mean? ריבון כל העולמים. And we don't find this statement in the whole tefillah almost. This ריבון really means master. It's an Aramaic word, ריבון. Ribon kol ha'olamim, you're the master of all the worlds. Adon kol ha'neshamot, master of all the souls. Oh, atah Hashem ha'marazir neshamot l'etgarim metim. You are Kadosh Baruch Hu, you bring back the neshamot for dead corpse, dead body. Different explanation why in this bracha we saying in the morning, because when we go to sleep it's like we died. And not exactly died, but the neshama, the nefesh, part of it goes up to Shamayim, might not come back as this neshama went to Shamayim. Now he says a person can go to sleep with something like it's called full neshama, and in the morning he wakes up and only has 40% of this neshama. You don't feel it in the beginning. I mean, the car drives, I mean. Like the car has 8 cylinders, and sometimes you can drive it in 4. And all of a sudden the person feels something, he says, ah, he didn't get back the full neshama, says Dari, from Shamayim after he went to sleep. And this part, the Dari, of that תקנה חכמים מיד אלוקאי נשמה שנתת בתורה היא תתן לקדוש ברוך הוא סוף כל ביא like to thank הקדוש ברוך הוא in a way that the body was like a dead body and the neshama came back and then it praised הקדוש ברוך הוא the neshama is pure, you're gonna secure the neshama you're gonna take it away from us, you're gonna bring it back to us but this is, doesn't answer all the questions That's why we have to wash our hands because it's like dead, yeah. Again, it doesn't answer all the questions. Why, what Chachamim, I think about what is really behind that bracha and why do we have to say that?
It's the Bar Mitzvah. It's the same language that's used in this parasha.
Yeah. So the Ari says like this. The Gemara says there's few categories of sins. The Gemara says, for example, somebody Chas Shalom did not obey and did not do a mitzvah aseh. Hashem told him to do something, he didn't do it. Hashem told him to shake the lulav, he didn't shake the lulav. Hashem told him to wear tzitzit, he didn't wear tzitzit. Put feeling, he doesn't want to put feeling. For this, teshuvah is very easy. So the person says, I regret, I am, from now on, I will do it. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu forgives him for the past, immediately. The man says, lo zat misham. The man says, you don't have to move from your spot. As long as you confess to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and you really regret, and you said that you regret, that moment already HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave you. So this is called, sometimes it's mitzvot lo ta'ase, Hashem told us not to do something, and we did this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for Yom Kippur. It says that you regret what you did, and this is Yom Kippur, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forgive you. חס ושלום זה לא תעשה שיש בו כעת חס ושלום somebody ate fat from an animal he's not supposed to eat or he did in any other thing that חס ושלום is כעת כעת means חם הוא קץ לנשמה and the נשמה is not going to become part of הקדוש ברוך הוא later on זה כבר right also you confess about it you're sorry about it, you regret about it, you regret it, then you suffer a little bit, Yisurim, you suffer a little bit, not everything goes the way you want to go, not everything goes smoothly, and then Yom Kippur, then you have Kapar. The fourth category says the Gemara is Chilul Hashem. Chas Shalom, somebody did a thing called Chilul Hashem. Made HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name not holy, then the Gemara says that there is no kapara, but on Yom HaMita. This is the Gemara that he has to confess, he has to regret, he will suffer, Yom Kippur is going to come, it doesn't get the forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch
Hu.
לא תעשה שיש בו כעת. או חילול השם. או חילול השם. או יום או חילול השם. אז הגמרא says, what is חילול השם? גמרא has the question, what is חילול השם? אז הגמרא says, one of the חכמים said, like me, that I'm going to the butcher, and I buy meat, and I say, please write it down, I'll pay you when I'll have the money. So the גמרא, the חכם felt that if he goes to the butcher shop and he doesn't pay, it's called חילול השם. Another Chacham said, the Gemara said, if I don't walk all day long with feeling on my head, it's Chilul Hashem. So Chachamim said, whatever the Gemara means just on the surface, Chilul Hashem means that somebody will look at you and they say, look, that behavior is not proper. It's not proper for you. That's the simple explanation of Chilul Hashem and the way the Gemara puts it. Rambam goes even further, again based on the Gemara, and he says Chilul Hashem doesn't mean that. Hil Hashem means that the person does a sin, and when he does that sin, he does it on purpose, without even worried about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said, you just ignore the entity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sorry? But the Rambam said even if he does it in his own room and nobody sees, it's also called Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem doesn't mean in public, says the Rambam. He says if you do it in a closed room and nobody sees what you're doing, it's also called Chilul Hashem. Doesn't have to be in public. And such a sin, said the Gemara, you'll not have forgiveness until the person dies. Even he suffered all his life, even he had Yom Kippur, still there's no kapara, only at his death. That's the Gemara in Maseret Yemasa. He can't get out of it. So, that's the way the Gemara says it. It's really scary. Especially this is Parashah, for example, you know, that can be the biggest Chilul Hashem, for example. The biggest Chilul Hashem. You don't want to go to Israel, they say Israel is not good. It's the biggest Chilul Hashem. For that Chilul Hashem, really, there's nothing to say anymore. You can't even talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. And that's really the whole story in this expansion. This is a big tragedy. A big tragedy. We might also call the Golden Calf the Chilul Hashem, but not as bad as this one. And you really cannot get out of it. It is nothing to do. The Chilul Hashem, that's the Gemara says, the Chilul Hashem is nothing. The only thing, says the Gemara, that if you're going to punish the person, it's going to be even bigger Chilul Hashem. If you punish that person, it says it's going to be all over the newspapers. It says, look, the person will die, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish him quietly, nothing will happen. But if that person is the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's going to be publicized in all the newspapers, and over the radio, and all over the world, it says, you see, that person is the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the father is a faker. And the whole thing was a lie. It's even worse. It's even worse from the scene that person did. It is the best HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more. On the other hand, says Ari, there's something else also as well. It's true. I said Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem is the body made Chilul Hashem, not the neshama of the person. The body made Chilul Hashem. The neshama that made Chilul Hashem. The body. The person's body did something wrong. The body really deserves a punishment. But if you punish the body,
Machshavot,
you have to be in Korban Olah.
Doesn't Hashem say that all these?
Ma'aseh Korban Olah. The person has a bad thought. He wanted to speak Lashon Hara. But before he spoke Lashon Hara, he had a phone call. That's why he didn't speak Lashon Hara. Not because he regretted the Lashon Hara. It's just, you know, somebody has said something and he forgot to say it or something. For this, you have to bring a sheep, Olah, to Beit HaMikdash. And Chachamim say, just one second. Chachamim say that the people in time of Beit HaMikdash was built. People used to wait on Har HaBayit, the entrance to the mountain. And used to see a person bring the sheep. He says, Shalom Aleichem. He says, yeah. What are you here for? He said, well, I bring the sheep. He said, the sheep? Why I bring the sheep? I see a sheep. He says, well, I had to bring a sacrifice for forgiveness. They started to beat him up down there. Cursing him, beating him up. He says, shame on you. Shame on you. You did a sin? How did you do such a sin? How did you do such a sin? He used to go poke the sheep. He used to go poke the goat. And somebody used to bring a goat. The goat is the worst. And being a goat, he used to scream at him. He says, what did you do? How dare you to do such a sin? In the beginning it helped. Later on, people stop coming. In the beginning it helped. People were afraid to do the sin. Later, people said, I'll do this and I won't bring the sheep. That's why Beit HaMikdash was destroyed then. That's what the Navi says. People don't bring sacrifices. When you think of this, I mean, it says people don't come to Bet HaMikdash. The Chachamim said they didn't come to Bet HaMikdash. Bet HaMikdash was deserted. I mean, nobody came to Bet HaMikdash. Because people were afraid to come to Bet HaMikdash. Then he had come to Bet HaMikdash, he had to bring a sacrifice. He had to sacrifice, that's why he had to fight with the people at the gate. Stop coming. What do you think, Jen?
So doesn't Hashem look at our Yechida in all the sins? You're saying that, you know, he looks and he says, you know, it was the goof that made the sin, not the body.
Right.
So that's with everything, not just with Chilul Hashem.
That's fine, yeah. No, I said the Chilul Hashem is the punishment. It's so big, so big and so great. The question is how to get out of it.
Okay.
After it's done.
After it's done, yes. Question is how you get out of it. How you be able to survive and not to get the punishment.
You wander around the desert for 40 years.
It is and it isn't. That doesn't cut it off.
Still, it's still Hashem.
The Chiddush says, you have to do Kiddush Hashem, but some Chachamim say, maybe you have to do the Kiddush Hashem in the same way, Yeah, that's called Chuvash Lemal, it's not called Kiddush Hashem.
No, but if you want to do the
it's not talking this
Kiddush Hashem, you have to do the same
way.
Same idea.
No, not the same place. Same place is for Tshuva, the Rambam says. The Rambam doesn't say that you can do Kiddush Hashem in order to avoid the punishment of Chilul Hashem. That's the Kiddush of the Chida. But again, you have to know how big the Chilul Hashem was, that you know the Kiddush Hashem is going to fix it.
It's big.
It's big. You don't know the weight of the Kiddush. Yeah.
It seems like it's not logic. Nishul Chilel Hashem, okay? And he needs to make tshuva. The Sefer Chachamim that just in Yom HaMita.
Just Yom HaMita will have kapara.
Alright. But actually,
he carries the sin on himself.
How you test the person that he makes tshuva?
He
said even if you to make tshuva younger, it's better than to be old. Because he's going to die, he makes tshuva. So how you test the person actually? They actually made tshuva, he made tshuva, and then he looked at all the
time,
he didn't do that.
She don't know if he did tshuva. Even if he did tshuva.
Before the line, everybody will make tshuva.
Even if he did tshuva.
Kapara,
but
he made tshuva. That's about tshuva, he made, that is who made tshuva. That is who made the right tshuva, even if he was younger, old, doesn't matter. Still, the kapara he will not have till he dies. Doesn't matter if he did tshuva.
There's no
more,
nothing
you can
Yes, I'm not going to be able to do it again.
The sins are piling up. It's going to come to a point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will let go of this world. Says the Rambam and says Sefer HaChinuch that HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his kindness give us Yom Kippur. That this will wipe out some sins. So the piles of sin are not getting as big. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us Yom Kippur. Now, if you don't want to have Yom Kippur, that's what it means. You don't have Yom Kippur, so the piles of sins grow. Eventually, the person falls underneath the piles of the sins and he dies. But it means that somebody doesn't have kapara, it means his pile is quite full. So it's going to come one of Yom Kippur, so and says, well, this year you did so and so and so and so, so in the regular year it's not so bad. Then you can wipe some of it and it's balanced out. But if you have already a minus in the account from the beginning, you overdrawn already from the years before, you have not cut around certain things, so the chances to survive the following year is very, very, very low. If a person doesn't have cut around for Hashem and he carries that overdraft, this minus on his back, every year, Yom Kippur, he stands for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you start up with a big minus. So let's say now the calculation, how many mitzvot you did, how many avirot you did, it says that doesn't look so bad, but you have to remember you have a minus from last year. And that minus that you carry on, the overdraft, carry on the overdraft, it has a big impact on the pile, on the sins in the mitzvot. The person, it's going to be hard for him to survive. That's what the Ramban in Sefer HaChinuch says. That's why we have Yom Kippur. To check our balance, to make our balance to be positive. But if you don't kapara, it means your balance is negative.
But you can do tshuva the entire year long. You don't have to wait till Yom Kippur to do tshuva.
But it won't help. The judgment is on Yom Kippur. Doesn't help if you do tshuva. Doesn't get do tshuva, but the question is if the thing was erased. As the Gemara says, the mitzvot say if you do tshuva on the spot, he did not put feeling, he did not wear to teach, he did not check your love, and he said, I'm sorry, I didn't do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not count it as a sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu erased it. If it's not that if somebody did something he should not have done, then that tshuva doesn't help. I mean, tshuva helps, but not wet. And that you have to carry it until Yom Kippur. In Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu erases it from your records. If yesh with a karet, if it's not a session for karet, has shalom a big sin, then a person has to suffer through the year also in order to have a kapara.
For one year.
The Chilul Hashem, that overdraft is carried on every year, and one day that person is going to get a big punishment, not because he did something wrong that year, because he did something wrong a few years ago. Chilul Hashem.
That's the only one that goes past you.
That's the only one. Chilul Hashem passes.
What you said before about the people standing outside the Beis HaMikdash
right. And
harassing those who are bringing the Karban.
Right.
That's
Mabim Bnei Chavero,
and that's the same
thing. Mabim Bnei Chavero, the concept of Mabim Bnei Chavero is not because I say it because I want this person to do teshuvah, or I feel this person ruins the world. Mabim Bnei Chavero, it means that I estimate my friend, he's sitting on my feet, he's pushing me, he doesn't have manners, he speaks when he's not supposed to speak. It's not because I'm worried about the things that he's coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he embarrassed Am Yisrael. That's not what Mabim Bnei Chavero about.
But when you feel
like you're going to be a friend, maybe you save him. Maybe, and should everybody do it to each other, I mean. It's a big kapara, yeah.
So you do the
mitzvah of the time. Huh? Maybe, yeah. The Gemara says also, Malkot is also, the Gemara says, Mr. Sanhedrin, it's like mitah. But he needs to give 39 lashes. The Gemara says it's like death. So you save your friend when you start hitting him. That's what they say, you know what I'm saying? They brought the husband to the judge and said he's hitting his wife. He said, yeah, he wants to give a kapara. it's on the record, but I don't know, you know, maybe you should erase it from the record. Somebody called me up, it's a true story, somebody called me up, and a lady from the mikveh. I said, one of the ladies came to the mikveh and she saw some red marks on the back. And she asked the lady, what's those red marks on your back? He says, my husband is trying to make me a better person.
She's
right. He's a big apparatus for this. So we'll come back to the subject with your permission. So again, a certain scenes, it's very hard to get rid of them. And it's almost impossible to get out of it. And one of the things, as we said before, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the body of the person, the neshama usually doesn't get punished. Some chachamim said never get punished. There's machloket among the chachamim.
Who is burning in Gehenna,
that's the question. Who is burning in Gehenna? The body is in the grave.
Yeah.
And the neshama doesn't get any punishment, so he's burning again.
Neshama has to be cleaned before it goes back upstairs.
Not so simple.
That's so
simple. There's a big machloket. All the chachamim, big machloket. Some of them say that neshama cannot get dirty from a sin. The neshama doesn't have any effect on it. There's a few contradiction statements about the part of the neshama, but again, you don't burn neshamot in Gan Eden. You don't burn this, in Gehinnom, I'm sorry. You don't burn neshamot. There's few explanations. Few explanations I'll give you. One explanation Chachamim says, Rabbeinu Bachai says, is
the embarrassment that you have when you see everything
you do. But is it Gehinnom? Well, who is burning in Gehinnom? Who is burning in Gehinnom? Neshamot burning in Gehinnom? You don't burn neshamot in Gehinnom. Again, Dari says, as Abba Chachamim says, the neshama doesn't get any dirt from the sin. Rabbeinu Bachai says like this. Rabbeinu Bachai says, sometimes you can meet a person on the street, say Shalom Aleichem to him, you shake his hand, but this person really is not a person. He's a dead man. He's a dead man who is walking on the street. If you grab him and you cut his stomach, it's empty. There's nothing inside. He walks on the street here on the River Road, looks at you, says, hello, how are you? He has glasses, he can drive a car. He says, it's a fake one. It's a fake
one. It's unique.
Well, I think I said one story.
There's
a lot of stories I can tell you. Or one of them I can tell you. It happened not long ago. It's printed in the book Lekach Tov. Was a rabbi in Yerushalayim. His name was Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zalmanzer. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zalmanzer learned in yeshiva in Europe. I was learning in yeshiva in Europe. One day a lady comes up to yeshiva upstairs. She said, I'd like to have two boys downstairs. She needs witnesses. Two boys come downstairs. One of them was Yosef Chaim Zalmanzer. Comes down, an old man stands over there and he tells the lady something and he wants to write a piece of paper, and the lady said, I want you to see the old man, and in the morning if I need you, you say you saw the old man. Who is the old man? I said, the old man is the father of a bank manager in Europe, and he wants the bank manager to help this lady. This lady needs some help. She has to marry her daughters, I think that's what the story says. And that man wants to help her. And he wants to write a piece of paper that she should take it to the manager of the bank in the morning. And he will help her because this guy, he is his father. So Mr. Abraham Zumfeld, the other person, I don't remember his name, saw the old man and said, yeah, we are witnesses. And the old man left and the lady went home. In the morning, the lady went to the bank. She goes to the manager. She gives him the piece of paper. She gives it to the manager of the bank. The manager faints. Picks up, he asks the lady, how do you have this? And he says, yesterday somebody gave it to me on the street. He says, somebody gave it to you on the street yesterday. It's my father died. He said, well, I have witnesses. I have two witnesses, saw him yesterday. He said, it's amazing, he said. Last night I had a dream. I was married to a boy. Last night I had a dream. My father came to me in my dream and he said, tomorrow the lady is going to come to you with a piece of paper. Please help her. I woke up in the middle of the night. I told my wife that my father came to me in a dream. My wife said, you're crazy. The father is going to send you a piece of paper. How is he going to send a piece of paper? From Gan Eden is going to FedEx you a piece of paper. So how did you get it? He said, that I saw the man on the street. He gave me the piece of paper. The reason why this is written in the book, the reason why that man came to that lady, because the son did not take Kaddish, did not keep the yahrzeit, did not light any candles. For his father, the bank manager, was married to a goy, just ignore his father. And that lady knew that that son does not keep the Kaddish, does not do anything for his father's neshama. And she did it. She lit candles, she gave some food, nishmat, all kinds of things, and therefore when she needed help, he came from Gan Eden, and he told her that. By the way, this is when we see a person comes in a dream. Somebody comes in a dream to a person. So the person died. People have dreams. Grandfather, great-grandfather, some people don't know who they are. Somebody comes to you in a dream. Who is this guy? So how did he come to you in a dream? From where? From where? So how did he get into your brain, into the system? Where did the vision come from? Was he coming from his grave? He's talking to you from his grave. He appeared in the dream. So how did he come? From where did he come? So Rabbeinu Bachai, that's all based on Rabbeinu Bachai, a real quote as well, but Rabbeinu Bachai says it clearly. It says when a person has the zechut, if he, either immediately after he died or later, the upper part of the body of the person raises up and goes to Gan Eden HaTachton. That's something invisible, but sometimes it's visible. So that part is, so the person has his chut goes to Gan Eden, but Chashvam doesn't have his chut, that part goes to Gehenom. That part, the upper part of the body, that man that this lady met on the street, so that man came from Gan Eden. I said, that man, you mean, you should have shook his hand, you felt the man has a hand, but it's a fake hand.
Did he have feet?
He has everything. Yeah, he looked at the whole upper part. The whole upper, no. I mean the upper part of the skin of the whole body.
Outside.
The whole outside of the body.
How do you speak if he doesn't understand?
He speaks, he has a motor inside. He has a cassette, I don't know.
Well,
he has a part of the shaman inside, I don't know. He has a part of the shaman. It's not the story that lately, I'm a Volozhin, on the Vilna, constantly people walked on the street, dead ones. The story of Chaim Volozhin in the yeshiva, a boy died, and in the middle of the night, he was walking in the hallway, he sees the dead boy comes towards him. He comes towards him, he's like nothing, you know. He says, hello, what are you doing? How are you? What are you doing? Stop thinking about him. What are you doing here? And the guy said, well, I came over here because before I died, I took five rubles from one of the boys, I borrowed $5, something like $5, if I don't give it back to him, he's going to let me in Gan Eden. So Chaim Volozhin said, okay, tomorrow morning I'll get it for you. It's another story about the boy came with a watch, it's a full story. Again, it's based on Rabbeinu Bachai, and that's what really was going on in Gehenom and Gan Eden as well. This is the upper part of the body of a person, Rabbeinu Bachai, just, if we say, vaporizes, or just flies off the body. It's invisible right now, but it is visible. The person can make it visible. That's called Gan Eden HaTachton. The Gemara says Gan Eden HaTachton. It says the person after he dies, there's a zechut. First he goes to Gan Eden HaTachton. And it's underneath Ma'at HaMachpelah. And over there he sits down and eats over there. He sits and eats.
What is
zechut?
You want to stay here?
The person comes to visit. He comes to visit if he wants to do something, he wants to accomplish something, he has the permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come back and to do certain things for people that he wants to do certain things. Or he needs something, he comes and he asks. And that part, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't deserve, he goes to Gehenom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Over there he gets punishment, but it's not the Neshama that gets punished.
The outside
of the goof, that flies off the goof.
Without the interest.
I mean, has some spiritual thing, it looks like it, but it doesn't have physical thing. It's empty inside. It's empty inside. The only thing is the upper part of the body, that he looks like a regular person.
So when you bury a man, you
bury him. So the say when you bury a person just before the burial or a little bit later, the upper part of the body, either before the burial, goes off the body and goes straight to Gan Eden HaTachton, or afterwards, a little bit afterwards, has a power to get out of the grave and to go to Gan Eden HaTachton. And it's not Chatzalom, it goes to Gan Eden HaTachton. So Ari says like this. Ari says, that in order to really to get, if I may say, out of the judgment of the big punishment, is that a person should say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's true, but I have a neshama inside. And the neshama is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if Chas Shalom you destroy the body, might be some damage to the neshama. Or might even be a bigger thing that the neshama will not be able to accomplish what the neshama has to accomplish. So the person, when you look at the person, you have to understand it, you look at the neshama, not at the body of the person. The body says, Zahir, it's only a cover for the neshama. So when you talk about somebody, you don't talk about somebody's body. We're talking about somebody's neshama, that the body of the person is like a suit of the neshama. Like you talk about the person, you don't talk about the suit. You talk about the person, it doesn't matter what the suit. Breathe, the same thing applies to the body of the person. You don't talk about the body, about that person. You're talking about that person's neshama. The person's neshama has a suit. It says the suit of the neshama is the body. But really, what you're looking at the person is not the body of the person. You look at the neshama of the person that it's inside the body. And the neshama also has fingers, and the neshama also has a hand, has feet. The neshama has the same thing, has the same shape as the body. So the body is the cover for the neshama. So when you talk about the person, you don't talk about the person. I says the person did something, it says, oh, the person did something, it says, oh, he did something. So who did it? It says the body did, the body. I mean, the body means the suit did, the suit did. And the neshama really doesn't do anything. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish the suit, it's going to punish the body, eventually something's going to happen to the neshama. The neshama will have to go back to either to Kisei HaKavod, to Chas Shalom, to Gehenom, Chas Shalom, to Kafakela. There's a lot of places the neshama can end up. That's the biggest solution. It's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's inside me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elokai, the neshama says, Torahi, Stabatet, Stabatabi, you gave me the neshama. It says, now, Chas Shalom, Chas Shalom, the person did not achieve what he's supposed to achieve. And what's going to be with the neshama? What's going to be with the neshama? If you think like this, says Ari, then you have a chance to survive, even think that Chas Shalom, the body is supposed to be punished. But you're going to save the body because this is the suit for the neshama. And I worry about the neshama. I mean, the neshama is not mine, the neshama is yours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You gave me the neshama is very pure, that's what it says. What it means, the neshama always says pure, that's what it means. The neshama is a Torah. It means the neshama is pure, and you gave me a pure neshama, and now you want Chas Shalom to punish my body. What's going to be with the neshama? What's going to be the neshama? And that's the biggest solution. That says, you gave me a neshama, and now you take away the neshama, the neshama Chas Shalom did not accomplish what Chas Shalom was supposed to accomplish. And the whole thing is just a disaster. That's really, Satarid, that's really the Kavanah of Bracha, we say in the morning, Elokai, Neshama Shnevi Torahi, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you take it, you give it to me, you can take it away, you can give it back to me. I'm going to show this Garim Etim. What it means is that I know my body is a dead body. I'm not talking about my body. So with my body, I have no chance. But I have a chance with my Neshama. If a concentrate on the neshama, eventually you can have the body, because that's the suit. You can't walk on the street naked. You have to have a suit. So if somebody wants to grab your suit, he says, listen, forget about the suit. I mean, maybe the suit, no, you owe me the suit. I mean, you didn't pay for the suit. Give me the suit. You didn't give me the suit. He says, forget about the suit. You want to give me the suit, or you want me to walk naked on the street? So the body of a person says, Dari, it's just a suit for the neshama. So you know, people like, listen, this is just a cover for the neshama. I says, I worry about the neshama. He says, if you worry about the neshama, you have a chance. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not look at the body with a magnifying glass. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu will not punish the body. Because the body is a secondary thing that you think about. I think about my neshama. So he says, in the morning, when they made a siddur, he says, okay, the first thing you say, Lokai, neshama shnevi Torahi, he says, talk about the neshama. He says, boy, talk about the neshama. And then we're talking about our body. I mean, we get up in the morning, we say, Pokeh HaKevrim, Zokeh Kefufim, Akira Surim, everything is a Rav Koach, everything is body, all of a sudden talk about the neshama. He says, before Bekot HaShachar, he says, are you maybe talking about the neshama, the neshama has to do bracha. He says, no, you don't understand. That when you stretch, you say Zekef Kufufim, when you say Makir Atzurim, when you put your foot on the floor, feet on the floor, you say Rokharat Alamayim. You put your shoes, you say Shasani Kol Torki, you start walking, you say Mechim Mitzadei Gaber. It says, my body is functioning. It says, oh, Baruch Hashem, I can move my feet, I can move my fingers, I can move my head, I can stretch, I can do this, I can do that, I can open my eyes. So, before you say all these statements, before, say Elokai Neshama, say Elokai Neshama. It says, before even you start, the time of Gemara, they used to do it on the bed, those brachot. It says, before you try to move your hand, you don't know if you can move it. The other people, they get up in the morning, they have paralyzed. It says, I can't bend my knee, I can't bend my head, I don't see one eye, I don't hear one ear. It says, this side, I cannot bend my arm, this, my tooth hurts, this, that, this is my foot, I cannot put my foot in my shoe. So you listen, before you start all these things to say the brachot on the body, say a statement to Hashem. Say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen. Neshama shenatata bi, no, I'm more about the neshama. The neshama is in my eye, I have a neshama in my ear, I have a neshama in my mouth, I have a neshama in my hand, in my fingers, in my feet. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those parts of the body are just a cover for the neshama. The neshama is very pure, you give it to me. And you're watching the neshama. And I'm worried about this neshama. I'm not worried about my body, I'm worried about neshama. Now if I won't be able to function with my hands, it means the neshama doesn't function. If you really don't, you cannot move your fingers, it's not that you cannot move your fingers, it means the neshama is not your fingers,
fixed. Same thing if you have pain?
Every pain, yeah. Every pain. The pain starts from the neshama inside your body. Not the body itself. Three, before you start to say the brachot, before you say anything, just say a Kadosh Baruch Hu statement. Say, I'm worried about the neshama. So the neshama of a person, says Dari, is a way out. So the body has to function, has to work. Because I'm not worried about my feet, that I'll be able just to run around, that I'll jog. It says, in my feet I have a neshama, and the neshama is covered with my feet. And I worry about the neshama, it's inside my feet. And if the neshama inside my feet won't be alive, so maybe my feet is not alive. So I worry about neshama, because neshama, you gave it to me, it's part of you. That's the biggest chilul Hashem. If you don't function. I said, I mean, this is really the same story as this week's parasha as well. This is Moshe Rabbeinu who tells the Kadosh Baruch Hu that you are inside us. The Egyptian people, you know, that the power of Am Yisrael is not the body of Am Yisrael. You can win a war against the Egyptians, and you cannot make these kind of miracles to give them Tanakot, Kiyat Yamsuf, all these things back and forth. This is only because Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Your neshama is inside us. Because they know it, Moshe Rabbeinu says. They know that you are among us. It means inside you. You're inside me. You're inside me. Now what it means is if I cannot do something, it means you, Hashem, cannot do something. This is really what Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Listen, I'm not praying for you. I'm telling you, there's nothing to pray anymore. This is the biggest chilul Hashem. But I didn't say the Eretz is no good. It's all over. Forget about it. Anyway, out as Ari, if you tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you worry about the Neshama, then you worry about the Neshama in different categories, says Ari. It doesn't matter if you deserve a punishment. Deserve punishment? Yeah, deserve punishment. It's true. Everybody didn't do something right. I mean, I said the wrong things. I said I don't want to Eretz Israel. I did something wrong with my hands. Okay, so what do you want to do? So you want to kill the guy. And says, the guy has a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside him. That is when you're going to kill the guy, and says, part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it sounds like it's going to be killed, or cannot function, or that neshama cannot achieve something. That's the biggest embarrassment for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the bigger embarrassment of Chilul Hashem. The Torah says, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe doesn't pray, na vayichal Moshe, na vayipalel Moshe. It tells the statement to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we understand everything. We understand that we did the same. Slachna le'avona amazeh. The Slav Tavon, it's a major sin. So I want to explain to you something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're going to kill them now, what it means is that the neshama of yours is going just to be destroyed because it's part of that system. It's called body and neshama together. If I'm asking you, don't do it. Okay, she said, okay. So I understand the concept is right. That's what's just in the Torah, though. So for us to learn, it's not a history that tells us what happened in the desert, the discussion between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says you have to have this concept in your head in order to survive. The end of the story says, Ari, that's what really happened. That they say, okay, let's go. Moshe says, Ki en Hashem bekirbechem. It says, the part of the neshama you lost when you did this thing. He says, you don't have this power anymore, that energy that drives you missing. He says, instead of forcing it, entering the car, you're enforcing the car. Ein Hashem bekirbechem. He says, you're going to lose the war. So I says, the Aaron and Moshe did not move me, care of a machane. He says, the rest went. He says, you lose the war right away. He says, because the body cannot win. He says, the body wins because there's an neshama that gives. That's how you won the Egyptians. That's how you won Amalek. That's how you won every nation, because the neshama that inside you has a tremendous power. And if the neshama does not have the power, you cannot win. And that's how the story ends. That's what tells you. Yes, it's time to go to a war. But you know, when you go to a war, the Torah tells you. Yatet yeh lecha ala zinecha. It's different things the Torah tells you. You have to have your camp very pure. Hashem italech bekeret machanecha. Hashem is walking with you to save you from the enemies. But it means, it says, it's not a separate entity. It's not another entity. It means you see it with your eyes. It's a cloud. You see, Shinam says, no, it means you, inside you. You're winning the war. You're winning the war because your neshama inside is winning the war. Not your body winning the war. One second, Rebbe. Now he says that this is really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us. But of course, it's something called Chilul Hashem, Chas Shalom, a person is Chilul Hashem, he cannot survive it, Chas Shalom, he cannot overcome it, his negative balance carried in on his account all the time. So it's true, negative balance on the body, true. But if you are consider yourself as a neshama, if you worry about a neshama, says Bari, then doesn't matter negative balance, doesn't matter, and nothing is better, because the body has to stay, because the body is a cover for that neshama, and I worry about the neshama, and the neshama is about the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So ignore, says Bari, what you did. Of course you cannot continue doing it, because every time you do it, says Bari, the power of the neshama gets smaller and smaller, it's weaker and weaker. You can get it, yeah. You can get it. Shuvah, Ta'anit, you can get it. Shuvah, Ta'anit, get back to the part of the Neshama. This is really what it says in Yishus Parashah. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu, tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem says, okay, I listen to you. I agree with you. But Hashem cannot not agree. But of course Hashem knew it before. But Hashem waited to hear if that's what they think about. And that's what really what Moshe Rabbeinu explained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, they think about it. It's just the body said they don't want to go to Eretz Israel.
Why has to die at 20?
No, the body has to die. The body cannot survive.
Because
the son of Neshama flew away. The body doesn't have the power anymore. But the punishment, you cannot punish. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot give the punishment so strong anymore. The body has to suffer. The body doesn't have this power of Neshama anymore. He said, that's what Hashem said, that kinu b'dever version. Rebbe who had in mind, dever is in that kind of sickness, the neshama itself suffers as much. And that Moshe Rabbeinu argued very, very strongly, and he said, no, they think about the neshama. They really think about the neshama. That's really what Yom Kippur is all about. That's what Chachamim said, Selachti Kizvarecha applies to Yom Kippur. For Yom Kippur, says Ari, this is really what a person should think. That his neshama is the most important part in Yom Kippur. That's why we don't eat on Yom Kippur. This is why we have Chamishah and on Yom Kippur. That you should act like Malachim, you should wear white clothing. The Shulchan Aruch says, the Rambam says, you look like an angel, look like an angel. What it means is I worry about my neshama more than I worry about my body. Therefore, Gemara says, Chachamim applied, the Salachti Kidvarech, Rabbah forgives us. Like Kidvarecha, like Moshe said. Moshe said that the most important part now is the neshama, is not the body. Yom Kippur, we have that zechut, that our neshama is more important than our body. So this constantly, this is just not on Yom Kippur, it's all year round. The person wants something, it says, I need parnasa, I need refua, I need this, I need that. The Zari has to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to refuah Shlema, but not for my finger, not for my nail, not for my headache. I said, I need a refuah Shlema because that part of the body is a suit for the neshama, and the suit is torn over there, the suit is not complete. So the neshama doesn't have the right cover. They have an infection. So they have an infection, it means the suit has a hole. I says, I don't need to be healthy because I want my body to be healthy. Don't worship my body, I worship my neshama. But the neshama is the cover is the body. So I need the cover of the neshama to be 100%. I don't want the cover of the neshama to have holes or to have any sickness. I need panasa because, again, it's not because my body needs food. I said, because I like to have a pizza. I said, no, my neshama gets energy from the food. That's why Hashem created it. The neshama gets energy from food, so I need food. If I don't have panasa, I don't have food. If I don't have food, the neshama doesn't get energy.
So
all the time, whatever, as you said, whatever you request from HaKadosh, we should have in mind, it's filah. It's Rafaenu, yes. Heal my body. I have an ache. I said, you have an ache? He says, yeah, probably deserve it. Chamin says, Ari used to walk on the street in Fat. Didn't he look at the person, just put his hand on the pulse of the person, and he was able to detect and say, I tell you, you have an earache, right?
Yes.
I says, because yesterday, you heard Lashon Hara. And Ari used to say exactly, what was the subject? He walked on the street, didn't look at people, just put his hand on the pulse of the person. So he says, no, he says, well, you asked for a Shlema. He says, not asked for a Shlema. He says, well, you got sick, you have an earache because of the Lashon Hara. He says, it's true. But, okay, you have to talk about this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's true. I deserve to get punishment to have an earache because of the Lashon Hara, but my ear is a suit for my part of the Neshama, it's called ear. As again, Rav Chaim Vital d'Ari says, the neshama has 613 pieces, like our body. So d'Ari, there is nothing to say of Ha'enu, there is nothing to ask Baruchenu, Baruch Aleinu, there is nothing to ask. I mean, the Talmud says not good because he did the sin, this Gilgul Gilgul before. Why did he say that? Akhim Chonod, it's a Nudno. So d'Ari, but we have in mind, you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say 18, and you pray, you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something, he says, I don't ask it for my body, Hashem. I ask it for the suit of my neshama. But not, Chas Shalom, you know, I don't mean what I say. I really mean it. I have to be up at that level. But I worry about my neshama. And my goof, my body, is the cover of my neshama. Therefore, I need for my body. Right? My body needs a suit. It says my suit is already, you know, shiny. The Chinese people today, they put too much of this and suit comes shiny. I need a new suit. I said, I need a new suit. Not because I like to be handsome. Just because my body needs a suit. I have to be presentable. Why is it presentable? It says because my body needs to be presentable. It says why your body needs to be presentable? Because it's the cover for my neshama. Everything you should try to be neshama. In every blessing and every request that you have to Zari, you don't ask, I need this, I need this, I need this. You don't, maybe you need it, but you don't deserve it. Zari, it's true, I don't deserve it. My body don't deserve it, right? But my neshama deserves it. The neshama didn't do anything. The body is just the cover for the neshama. Please, please have mercy on my neshama, not on my body. And I ask him for my body. My body really maybe doesn't deserve it. Maybe the body did something wrong. But you have in mind that Zari, every time you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give it to my neshama, as I have a headache. It's not my body hurt. It says, yeah, I have a headache. Yeah, but you have to understand, underneath my headache, I have a neshama inside there. So the neshama is underneath that headache. It means my suit has a headache. I don't want my suit or that has a cover of my neshama to have a headache.
If the body is suffering, which is the suit for the neshama, is the neshama also suffering?
Vaguely. That's what Jesse says it. Vaguely. Machloket Rari Adu Chachamim. If the neshama really suffers.
But
again, the neshama doesn't have
a spiritual headache. If I have a headache?
It's a machloket again. As I said in the beginning of the shiur, there's a machloket and the neshama has any bad things if a person does a sin. If it's if it does something in the neshama.
So why is that what in the neshama? If the body has
it means the body
a problem, so how does that affect the neshama? Well,
HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a perfect body for the neshama. Like when you buy a suit, you don't want to have a hole in your suit.
So there has to be some kind of kesher.
That's the kesher. That's a suit for the neshama. When you buy a suit, you want the sleeve to be exactly. But that's the suit. Hashem made a suit for the neshama. And you want the suit to be exactly the way Hashem put it. I said, you damage your suit because you did something wrong. I said, it's true. But not for the sake of the suit, for the sake of the neshama. For the sake of the neshama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not look at you with a magnified glass on the body. That's what he said, you have in mind, when you say, Elokai, the Shemesh Tzadim in the morning, he said, oh, listen, before I start saying, I'm just telling you a statement. I worry about the neshama. I said, if I can't move my hands, it means I cannot move my neshama, it's in my hand. You gave me neshama, I want to operate the neshama. The body of the person is the suit of the neshama. I said, you gave me neshama, you gave me a body, let everything operate the way you want it to operate. But again, my emphasis and my main concern is my neshama, it's not the body. I'm not praying for my body to have panasa, I'm not praying for my body to be heaven for Hashem. This may be yes, maybe not. But 100% guarantee, says Dari, if you pray for the neshama, if you pray 100% for the neshama, then it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have mercy on the neshama. It's called Salach Tipi Dvarecha. I says, for you, I'll listen what you say, because the concern is the neshama, is not the body.
Kapara.
I wouldn't say the word kapara, it's not the kapara. This is, means that you're on a higher level. That you don't think about your personal body, you think about your personal neshama, that's a different concept.
Okay. Yeah, I think also maybe, I'm not sure if part of the concept that I'm just trying to teach is that maybe we're supposed to, when we look at like our friend and other people, maybe we're also supposed to look at the neshama and see what's important. Maybe because of the concept I once heard that, you know, we're supposed to judge people the way that you want Hashem's brother to judge you. So if you look at somebody, you look at his yechida, this is the neshama, and right. Judge him like that, then Hashem will hopefully judge you the same way.
Right.
I don't know if I'm trying to show that here, but...
It means you love your friend. Who is your friend? Kadosh Baruch Hu is your friend. What do you mean is Kadosh Baruch Hu? It means every person you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It means if you don't love somebody, it means you don't love his neshama. It means you don't love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because inside you don't have the body has no meaning. The body functions. How the body functions? Because the body is a neshama. Who is a neshama? It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it means if you don't love somebody, you don't have a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the explanation. Ve'afta le're'acha kamocha, says Maram HaSechah Shabbat. Le're'acha, Pesuk in Mishneh. Le're'acha ve're'avicha. It means who is this? A Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'afta le're'acha kamocha, it means when you look at your friend, you should look at his neshama, because the neshama is your friend, because the neshama is a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Who is the one that's saying that neshama shasata B? Who is B?
B, who is the body. The body
is the suit of
the B, yeah. That's for B, the body. That's the neshama you should have. Neshama shasata B in the body, but I'm not concerned about the body. I'm concerned about neshama. Because he said the whole statement, the one called neshamot, the neshamot is karim itim. He says the whole thing, I'm not about neshama. And then he starts to be called a shakha. I said, I can move my head, I can open my eyes. I said, but it's not because I said, thank God I'm opening my eyes for my body, and I can open my eyes for my body, because maybe I don't deserve to open my eyes.
So you're saying that I need to thank you for all these things, or I ask for these things, so that my neshama should be able to do the job it was designed to do.
That's right.
So this is a way out from the punishment of Rosh.
Shouldn't the brother say instead, you know, shouldn't say that you put me in the body? Because isn't the me the neshama, not the body?
Yeah, sure, the neshama. The main thing is neshama.
So
the body does all the bad things, not the neshama.
Like we're saying, should I stop at B?
Yeah, this means like the person says the neshama that you put inside me.
But me,
means the body. Means the body.
So are we really good for real essence?
Yeah, that's what you say. I mean, the body speaks.
By
the way, in Yirgun
Neshamot, the
Neshama
goes over
the
new suit.
Yeah, that's what
it means.
Yeah. So the body
is like...
That's what it means, yeah.
Yirgun Neshamot
means the Neshama goes in different suits.
So every pain, or every...
Ari says every pain is klipa, every pain is a punishment for something that was done with that part of the body, either on this gigul or the gigul before. Doesn't necessarily mean this life. It means the lifetime before.
Amen.